If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the strange voice speaking out of thin air asking, do you want to talk? And what did it want to talk about exactly?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call in and share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Share your story that way. And if you really like the program and would like bonus episodes, exclusive ones we give to you every single week, you also get access to our advanced episodes of the show, our archive of episodes, which consists of quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created in one place. You get that too. You just go to patreon.com/realghoststories, sign up there, or our website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all those things. And plus, we throw in our ebook and audiobook, an Amazon and Audible bestseller, as part of the whole deal. So, and that's like a $15 value a piece. So, all that you get there, $5, and you help keep our show on the air. So, please do be a patron of ours. It's Tony and Carol on today's episode of the program. And what's going on in your world?
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
I'm like just hanging out and stuff. But so I'm intrigued by that voice, the intro to this. Do you want to talk?
I know. I think it's the context.
Yeah.
The context needs to be how was the voice? What did it sound like?
Yeah, I mean more about that story, because that would be an interesting question. It'd be like, you scared the shit out of me. But yeah, I could use a friend.
I mean, it could be like, do you want to talk? Or is it more like, would you like to talk?
Yeah, because you look like you could use a friend.
Yeah,
I could, even though I can't see you. And I'm a little creeped out about that, but I really need to talk this shit through. Oh. Or is it just some like creepy voice? Like, do you want to talk? I don't know.
So I'm
intrigued by this one.
What I'm wondering is, you know, if it's Dionne Warwick and saying that's what friends are for. And do you want to talk? I coming back. She's still alive, isn't she?
Okay. Like, she's kind of gotten popular again.
Oh, really?
Just through Twitter. Like, she's very random. She started a Twitter account, and she's like super random with her posts and very direct. They just did a skit on her on Saturday Night Live, as a matter of fact.
Really?
They did.
I'll have to watch it. What you were doing earlier sounded like
friends up. Oh,
yeah. Well, when you were talking in California and earlier, I was like, the Californians, you know, that's what I was thinking of. Okay, everybody, sing it now. Thank you all for coming to the Holiday Inn tonight. We're having a great time. 2-for-1 drink specials back there. Tip your waiters and waitresses. And I never thought I'd feel this way.
You got to keep that handy just in case you need that music for this upcoming story.
I got it
if
right.
If it goes
here.
That way, like, I don't know. Cause like, if you're sitting there and I have no idea what direction this story is going to go, but if you're kind of just hanging out, I'm like, it's like, God, this day sucks.
I say a little prayer
to talk.
And deja vu. Remember deja vu?
Kinda. Say a little prayer. Absolutely.
This is like, you know, kind of that, like was like late 80s. Kind of semi-disco-y contemporary bullshit. It's not quite yacht rock. It's not quite R&B. It's like, I don't know.
It is kind of yacht rocky.
It's a little, but it's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of at its own little category there. Anyway, 855-853-4802 here as we dionne the world of Dionne Warwick on... Fresh air. Let's go over to our first story. I got new spooky music, by the way. There we go. We updated that today. Greetings, everybody. Let me start first by saying I enjoy the show tremendously and have been an active listener for about 2 years now. I'm an EPP person and find it money well spent. So please continue with what you all are doing. It is great. Thank you. Like yourself, I am born and raised... Skana? I'm not sure what that means. Having been raised in the... Oh, I didn't know there was... and maybe spell check did this. I think it's supposed to be Skani, but Skana is what came up. Having been raised in the central part of the state where I am presently residing, referring to Wisconsin. I remember the HorrorCon bunk bed vividly haunting in 1987 and was allowed, thanks to a friend of mine who knew the Tallman family, to be present when the beds were finally taken to the dump and destroyed. No shit. Well, that's pretty cool. Where's my bunk bed bell?
You might need to circle around to that story because I don't know this story.
Okay, I will. This is the inspiration for the bunk bed bell.
Okay.
So this is really interesting getting a letter from someone who was actually there when they were destroyed. Bravo. We've made quite a... I think this is our best bunk bed connection. Okay, continuing on. I've always had an affinity for the paranormal, but have never witnessed anything but for this one experience that I had in 1986. I do not know what to think of this, as I might very well have been dreaming, but it is the only thing I can point to as unusual. In 1986, I was a freshman studying at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, living in the dorms with my roommate and living in the typical freshman college life. Whitewater had a reputation for being haunted. Underground tunnels connect all three of the cemeteries in town, with the university directly in the middle of the triangle. One dorm had a reputation for paranormal experiences, and the town further had a reputation for witchcraft. Like most state universities in Wisconsin, Whitewater was a suitcase college, with most local Scotties leaving campus on the weekends. This one weekend, I was quite literally the only person in my entire dorm building. While creepy, it was not unusual. And being a diligent student, I was able to keep myself busy during the day studying and working on various projects. As night approached on Saturday, I settled into an evening of watching HBO and kicking back from a long day of schoolwork. As was my habit, I quickly fell asleep in my chair as the night grew darker and darker in my tiny room. At some time later, I awoke in my chair from a deep sleep. I was tired and my eyesight was foggy, but I could tell from the clock that it was around 2:30 in the morning. TV was off, don't remember turning it off, so I got up to stumble over to my bed just a few steps. As I walked over, I suddenly and distinctly heard a voice in my right ear say, "Do you want to talk?" Without thinking, I stopped in my tracks, continued staring at my bed, and said the most intelligent thing that one can say when confronted from beyond the grave. "What'd you say?" I asked. "Do you want to talk?" the voice repeated, this time a little closer and a bit louder in my ear. "Right," I said. Instantly alert, I sprinted to the door and I rushed down the dimly lit hallway towards the bathrooms on the far end. From there, I could see my dorm room door still open and waited to see if anyone or thing left came out laughing or whatever might be the case. Nothing happened. Sometime later, I tiptoed to my room. The TV was now on, but nothing else was different. I sat back in my chair after turning all the lights on in my room, not wanting any shadows to crawl out at me. Something like this never happened again. I lived in the room the rest of my year, moving out the following term. Looking back now, I wonder if this were just my imagination combined with my fatigue, or if there really was a voice from beyond trying to strike up a conversation. But my fear would not allow this to happen. I regret now that I did not just say, "Talk? Sure. Come on in, let's chat." But my opportunity was lost, and now occasionally, when it's dark, I'm sitting alone at home late at night. I listen to see if my unknown interviewer has returned to attempt to strike up a conversation. All is quiet some 34 years later. Thank you for taking some time to read this. Hope it makes sense, and I look forward to continuing to listen to your excellent program. Best, Joe. Interesting story. I think he's a good storyteller. I like that, Joe.
Well, it made me laugh because it's like, do you want to talk? What was that?
Yeah.
Like, that's the most honest reaction you could have.
Exactly. And we do, and we all do it to everybody all the time. What?
Right? Like, huh? What'd you just say? That makes me laugh. And so I kind of think if you didn't get a response to that, the most honest thing you could have said, because your reaction wouldn't be disembodied voice, do you want to talk? Yeah, I do. That wouldn't be your reaction.
No.
Your reaction would be exactly that.
Exactly.
Oh, that cracked me up. That made me laugh out loud. You want to talk? Well,
yeah.
Oh, that was good.
That was a good one. Thank you for sharing.
I have to, real quick, yeah. I have to wonder, though, do you think, like that was the one opportunity you could have ever connected? Like, do you think there was really something there, or just, because it is like, your mind's a million miles away. You're not thinking about somebody talking to you, and then somebody does.
I would say if this is something that's not a regular occurrence.
We can rule out schizophrenia.
Exactly. I think you know, when we have experiences like this, we can differentiate, you know, that was normal, that was not normal. It's, you know, if you're someone who's kind of groggy and stays in those groggy states, that's usually something that some people do. Some people fall asleep or they're out or they're not. And I think you could identify if this is a normal thing for being in that state for you. And if it's not, I think there's a likelihood that there was something that was going on there. I mean, especially with all the stories of everything on those campuses, and Wisconsin's got a ton of ghost stories. I don't know statistically how accurate this is, but I had heard from several people, and you know how every state kind of pumps up their own things, but I talked to several investigators back in the day, before I was even into this very much, that it all said that Wisconsin, like per square mile, has the most reported hauntings in the U.S. I don't know if I believe that, because I mean, you think of New England and that sort of stuff, and that's pretty damn haunted out there. I don't know, but there is a lot. I'm just thinking the places I've lived and just how you could walk down the road and go, there's a ghost story there, there's a ghost story there, there's a ghost story there. And nobody ever thinks of that with Wisconsin. But these were just kind of like common knowledge things around the towns. And it was, even whether you believed or not, you just kind of knew where all the things that were haunted were. So, I don't know. It's just more open and they talk about it more. You know, there's not like a lot of, you know, like the Baptist type thing in the South where it's like, we just don't talk about ghosts, period, and that sort of thing. It's more open. It's Lutheran and Catholic up there, and they like Halloween. So I don't know if that just kind of opens up the lexicon of speaking on the topic. And that's why people are more open to share those stories than they would be in other places. I don't know.
I like, they're just Lutheran and Catholic. That explains it.
I don't know. I mean, well, they were, when we talked about that stuff, and like we talked about ghost stories, and it was not a big taboo thing at all. So,
but I do think you have a point, because like those people aren't, you know, I think you're right. Like, especially Catholics, and you know, they go to church on Saturday night to get it out of the way, so then go out drinking.
Exactly. I mean, that's what Wisconsin is. I remember there actually, this ties into this story, incidentally, after the bunk bed incident, and that was an Unsolved Mysteries, one of the investigators actually came to my church and spoke about the investigation and what had happened there. And the church was happy to host it. Because I grew up like about a half hour from Horicon, where that took place. And it was just kind of like, well, and they, but they'd always like, you know, trying to connect it into their religion and things like that. But it was more so like, these things happen. How does that relate to our belief system is, I think, what their angle was. But yeah, I remember that. My mom went to it, and I remember asking her recently, like, Mom, did somebody like come to our church and talk about the Horicon bunk bed story when I was a kid? Or is that like something in the, you know, miles of my imagination? No, it happened. It happened. Like, okay, well, there you go. It's an interesting place. They like cheese and Packers as well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and the fellow Bruce Keys and anyone else that might be a guest or a special guest. I've called before. I've been featured on the show. I'm not an EPP yet, and I'm not sure why, other than I just haven't taken the time to be that, so I need to do that. But I have kind of a dilemma, and I'm hoping, I don't know if this is something that you'll be able to reach out and help me with. Just because I've called about my daughter before and her special gifts in regards to, and I know you have so many phone calls, so perhaps you don't remember this, but she actually gets visited in her dreams by someone that has passed away that my husband had went to school with, lost touch with, knew she passed away. Anyway, Lily, she tells Lily things that there's no way that Lily could know. So just very recently, the last couple of months, this has been going on with Lily and the lady in her dreams for, I don't know. I mean, Lily's always seen things. I know I mentioned that before, but as far as the lady in the dreams, I would have to really sit down and think about when all this began. But just here recently, Lily's had some, her health has taken its toll. And we have taken her to her pediatrician, even the hospital. They've ran tests. They've done ultrasounds. You know, we can't figure out what's going on. And the doctor keeps asking me, you know, perhaps anxiety at school, or perhaps it's this, you know. And she's not that type of child. She's almost to the point, and I said that God created Lily to be visited by a dead person and not be bothered and to be able to hear certain things because she's so vain. And to a degree, that helps her. She's able to focus on herself and realize things are a lot worse for everyone, no matter who you are, and life happens. You know, people die, people are born. She's very blunt about things. She's very focused on herself. She's very driven. So I thought that she was handling it really well. And now I'm wondering if perhaps it is, in fact, taking its toll on her health. I have asked her, you know, how she feels nonchalantly in regards to Dana, the lady that visits her, how she feels, you know, and does it not bother her? You know, I said, you know, that's really heavy for someone your age. And she's like, no, because I can tell her if it's something that's too much, I can say stop and she'll stop. Or I'll say, if I just don't want to know, I'll say, you know, I don't want to know. Like recently I lost an aunt and she said, Dana came to me and said that, you know, someone was going to pass away. And she said, I said, did you not want to know who? And she's like, no, I didn't want to look someone in the face and think this would be the last. And she said, because I knew it was coming very, very quickly. It was very unexpected. My aunt's very young. My connection really to my father. And she's like, I didn't want to think that, you know, that may be the last time I may be seeing someone on this earth forever. So she's like, so I, you know, gained the respect a lot of that. But we've also, very recently, there have been two people to come into her room. And I first heard them, and I was, like, knocking. And when I heard it the first time, I thought it was just something that would be up knocking out, you know, and I wasn't sure if I was half awake, half asleep. The second time, it woke me up, and then I heard it even after I woke up. And as I go to get up to go check on my children, because I have two, Lily meets me out in the hall, and she's like, oh, that's just the shadow people in my room. And then she later goes on to describe to me that there are two other people that have shown up. Dana has introduced them. She's not scared of them. There's nothing harmful. They just enjoy it. One's younger, and that's a whole other story. But I'm wondering if those two are maybe sucking some of her energy and making her feel bad because she's having a lot of issues with her stomach and just lethargic. I thought she had mono. Some of her levels, her AST levels, are double what is normal, which is an indication of liver or kidney. Both of those, everything's coming out fine, but the blood work is showing something's not right. So I'm just wondering if there's someone, if I give you my email address, if there is some way you can maybe get me in touch with the right people, parents who have experienced something similar. I don't know. I just need some kind of support group and some kind of direction, because I feel like I'm failing her as a parent. And, you know, especially with the upcoming health issues. My email address.
Can't put that on the air. Thoughts?
Well, there's too much to unpack. I mean, yeah. That's way above my pay grade.
Yeah.
Did she say how old she is?
I did not catch that.
Because maybe she said it in one of her previous phone calls. I think her age would be good to know.
Because,
you know, we've talked a lot about kids kind of growing out of that sort of thing. But if her daughter's, you know, 15.
Yeah.
That would be different than if her daughter's 4.
Yeah.
That said, do I think it could affect her physically? Absolutely. But if her blood work is all messed up like that and liver enzymes or whatever it was, that I would, before I would connect it to some kind of paranormal visitation, I would be running every freaking test.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to uncover everything there first.
That's definitely step number one.
Because
before anything.
That's a lot. She's like, she handles it well. I don't know that I could encourage that in my daughter. I think it would piss me off.
Yeah.
If somebody's coming to visit my daughter at night and telling her things, it's like, that's a lot to put on a kid. Once again, I don't know how old she is. But, you know, if someone's going to die and then it's like, why didn't you tell me? The last thing your kid would want to do is tell you that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a lot to put on a child.
It is.
So, you know, I think that I get why you might want to kind of normalize it for her. But it really isn't normal. It's, you know, maybe it's, I don't know how you would exactly explain that to your child. Either. That's like I said, that's all about my pay grade.
It is. It's a difficult one to tackle. But if you are looking for kind of a support area, where if you want to talk about this in the realm of ghosts and paranormal and things of that nature, we have our Facebook group page that there's now over 10,000 people on.
That's a good idea. There might be someone there who would know a little bit more. But I seriously,
medical number
not-
one. Yeah.
Do not discount any of that medical stuff and thinking that, I mean, yeah, could it be connected? Absolutely. Sure. But she could have something really wrong that you just have to make sure.
And I'm just saying the Facebook page for moral support, really, more than anything
else. Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And there might be somebody that can give her some advice because they've dealt with it before.
Yeah.
I mean, or even a similar situation before.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that, and hopefully you can connect with some
folks.
And
I would like to hear a follow-up.
I would, too. Please do keep us updated. It's not the first time she's called in, so that's good. Let's go to another letter. It says, hey, everybody, my name is Matt. I work in the Pilbara region of Australia, which is in the northern parts of Western Australia. The Pilbara region is well-known for spiritual activity, red-eyed demons, and simply weird shit happening. I've had a few things happen and a few solid stories from colleagues I trust, so I'll give you one of each now. I work as an emergency services officer for a well-known mining company. I was on station by myself. My work colleagues were out in the mining pit inspecting a small fire on a piece of machinery, whilst I was conducting a routine check of our medical supplies and drugs in a small room. We called the pharmacy. I heard and saw the door handle to the small room. I was in a shake. It was as if someone was attempting to open the door to get in. The door is always locked. It requires swipe card access to even get in. I did not think much of it, and I opened the door to see who it was, but there was no one there. I found this odd because the time it took me to open the door from the handle shaking did not allow enough time for anyone to walk away from the door without being seen. I inspected the office area, which is three locked and secured swipe card access doors to enter, two of which access the engine room where we keep the fire appliances and ambulances, and another that has access to the waiting room, all of which were closed, locked, and when open, scuffled across the ground, causing a reasonable amount of noise in which I heard nothing. The area was empty, and I was still the only person at the station. When my remaining work colleagues arrived back at the station, I asked them if any of them had come back to their station earlier. They all denied having come back early. How odd. I have a lot more stories from my time in mining, and for now I'd like to share just one more. This experience did not happen to me, rather, one of my colleagues, a colleague I trust, and a story I found remarkably interesting. A psychotherapist I work with was in his room. Around midnight, he was fast asleep but woke to the sound of his room's ensuite shower running. Knowing he had not left his shower on before going to bed, he got out of bed to have a look. As he approached the ensuite door, the sound of a running shower stopped. He opened the door and switched on the light. His whole bathroom was fogged up from the steam of the shower. This freaked him out a bit, but he managed to go back to sleep for the night in which nothing else had happened. The next day, he contacted the reception desk to change rooms. I asked him where the room was in, which he described as a block of rooms on the outskirts of the 1,800-man camp. It was on the eastern side. From my time in this camp, I'm familiar with experiences people have told me. People feel like they're constantly being watched. They feel that things move around the room. People often feel so uncomfortable that they never spend more than one night in the room in this block. I have a few more stories to share, and which I'll save for another time. Found your show about 6 weeks ago, and I absolutely love it. I also recently became an EPP. The show and the rewards are more than just joining for it. Thanks again, Matt. Thoughts on Matt's story?
Well, I think Matt needs to write back in or call in at some point, because he just kind of, oh yeah, blah, 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 and red-eyed demons. What the hell was that? Like, they have red-eyed demons where he lives?
Who doesn't?
Like, okay, maybe my town doesn't have them.
Oh, I think you might.
Maybe in my murder she should.
Yeah. Home of the BTK, you might have red-eyed demons.
You might know your neighborhood is a bit possessed when you have red-eyed demons.
We'll bring back the whole you might be a redneck if. We'll make it you might have red-eyed demons if.
If. But I thought the whole shower thing was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, to wake up and hear the shower running and it's fogged up the room, like, it just doesn't turn on and off by itself.
No.
That's creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy.
It's a clean ghost, but still, like, you're a ghost. You don't need to clean.
The question,
you're fine.
The question really mainly, though, is it zestfully clean? Because you're not fully clean. You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean.
And obviously, that ghost will never be zestfully clean.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's a requirement, especially if you're a ghost. Zestfully clean. Woo! Zestfully clean.
You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean. Do I look clean to you?
No.
Surprise. I'm not fully clean unless I'm zestfully clean.
I can tell. You look like a creepy, dirty woman that's just wearing a towel and trying to sell me soap.
Do I look clean? Do you want to talk?
As they're snorting cocaine off the countertop.
That was funny. I can't believe you found that fast.
Zestfully clean. There's this thing called YouTube,
And you can just type in anything you want. And it's like, boom, you want to watch a promo from your local newscast in 1984 for the noon news? You'll find one. It's like, okay. I do these things. I sometimes will go back and like watch old news promos just from childhood. When I remember like playing with Legos. Like, yeah, that's how the news intro sounded. I remember that.
Well, and of course you'd be that kid. The news intro, Mom. I love this one.
You want to hear the
ABC's news intro is great.
So here,
Mom,
here's the, ABC did have the best one. World News Tonight with Peter Jennings. Although NBC was a good they were all pretty good at the 90s. Here's what I did, being the total dork of cross between ghosts and media. I took my Ghostbusters and I made them I renamed them the names of the local reporters on Channel 2. And I took the Ghostbuster, the Ecto-1, the play car, and over the Ghostbuster symbol, it was repurposed. And I put the Action 2 News logo on it. And then I had one guy was the cameraman, and then I had the anchors and the meteorologist and sports.
Of course you did.
And there was a little desk, and the Ghostbuster house was broadcasting the evening news. And that's
oh my God, little Tony was so adorable.
The shit I did.
You're so adorable.
My parents are like, what are you doing with your Ghostbusters? I'm trying to make it look like the meteorologist on Channel 2. Shut up.
I loved him. He's the best one.
When I eventually, I worked in that same building when I became an adult, and the TV station was in the basement, and they provided weather for the radio. And it was my first day that I was there, and I remember getting a call on the hotline, and it's him. His name was George Graffis. And he's like, hey, Tony, it's George.
George who?
And I'm like, hey, Tony, I'm George. Nice to meet you. I'm like saying the wrong part. And he's like, I just faxed up the latest forecast for you. Okay. It was horrible on severe weather days because, you know, we'd have to record stuff and like we'd try and drop it in or do live. And I'm just like starstruck throwing it to this meteorologist that I grew up idolizing. This is how Tony is impressed with people. It's the local meteorologist. I didn't give a shit about meeting Taylor Swift. It was all about the meteorologist on the ABC affiliate in Green Bay.
The Green Bay.
Yeah, there you go.
God, that's so freaking cute.
He retired last year, I think, and I shot him a message, and I actually told him that story of what a dork I was. And he remembered me from working in radio there, but I don't think I ever shared that story back then. But I was just wishing him a happy retirement. He just thought it was funny. So anyway, that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person at EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the whole archive. It's all commercial free, and you keep us on the air. patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol and everyone at Real Ghost Stories Online, Tony Bruschi, thanks for listening.